Now, with this understanding, you know, today we have gone through the four ways, Four Noble Truths approach. Then we look into the vision and goal setting again. Just now when we all discuss, a lot of vague ideas, because you don't go into precise, exact more. But now with the help of Four Noble Truths approach, you should be able to approach the same question in a better light, clearer, okay, understand clearer. So this is important. Okay, now, goal setting. If you set the goal wrongly, then everything goes wrong. You can work very hard, but the goal is wrong. This is the most pitiful. And some people happen to get their goal right, but not really. It is not you just give the chance. No, we don't give the chance. Leader don't simply rely on good luck. Of course, good luck is necessary. Then later we have to learn how to get good luck. But we don't rely on good luck. We make sure we really know the mechanism, the principle, and work accordingly. You know, don't sit down there and expect that we can dig out some ancestor's treasure at the backyard of our house. That's good luck. But do people aim to get rich that way? No. Isn't it so? So, goal setting. We have to really understand and then they set the goal correctly. Then, when we plan to set goal, beneficiary is a very important idea. If you don't understand who are the beneficiaries, whom you want to benefit, then it is a pity. Just a father who keep earning a lot of money by forgetting who are the beneficiaries for my wealth? Then he may end up being a slave to all his wealth and his children suffer, his wife suffer. He himself may suffer terribly for health or for any reason because of not understanding who are the beneficiaries for all this wealth that I work so hard for. Who are the beneficiaries? You think it's an easy question? It is not really easy. Many people miss it. So look at it. The next one is what? Contents of the welfare or the benefits. What benefits do you want to produce? You have to be very clear about it. You have to be very precise about it. This will help a long way for our goal setting. 受惠者还有真惠 Chinese, you must know who are your 受惠者, who are your beneficiaries, and contents of the true welfare. 那个真慧的内容, you have to know. Now look at this. We study the beneficiary first. Who are the beneficiaries? Now, do you know who are the beneficiaries for our American Dharma Society? Who are our beneficiaries? Do you have a target beneficiaries? 众生, all beings. Okay, maybe the ticks. So if you want to benefit the ticks, go and sleep in the open and really benefit the ticks, you know. If this is your beneficiary, you aim, then you have to work hard, get everyone to accompany, to associate with the ticks and bugs and anything. Is it? Huh? Self. Okay, yourself. Okay, yourself can be the beneficiary, yes? Who are the meditation practitioners? Potential one or already existing one? We have a few only. So you have to be very clear about it. You have to be very clear. Now we study this. Beneficiaries. Look at this. We are trying to set the 3 tiers of beneficiaries. So you understand. 3 tiers of beneficiaries. The first is the grassroots. In any organization, you always have your grassroots, or at least a potential grass target, people that you aim. Yes. For example, if in American Dharma Society, yeah, whether your target is all over America, or LJ, or Atlanta, or Georgia, or Chinese, or English speaking audience, Chinese speaking audience, or both languages speaking audience, or beyond that. You know? you need to have an idea. Or you may even have a different types of grassroots target at different age time. Maybe the first year we can only achieve this much. Our target is this one. 5 years is this one. 10 years, 50 years, we aim differently. Yes. You know, if suddenly you say, I want to aim all language speakers, the Latino, you want the Hispanic people, or the black, the white, everybody, and then the Korean, you may suddenly, wow, how am I going to satisfy it? I can't even benefit myself. Is it not? So you must be clear about it. If it is in the long run, yes. In the long run, you should aim for all beings. Yes, maybe all beings. But in the given a time frame, within the your time that you can give your service, you must always be very clear about it, how much you can do. If you aim unrealistically, then you may not achieve anything. You may not even establish your growth well. So this is very important. These are first beneficiaries. Later, I want you all to think about why we put it as a first. Why not the last? That's it. Second beneficiary, executors. Executors. The Dharma worker, Dharma servers, volunteers. If you don't care about them, let's say they get overworked, they don't feel the benefit, then problem may happen also. They get overworked, they want to quit, they want to run away. Right? No? So you cannot, you have to have balanced consideration. Second beneficiaries. Then the third beneficiary, the mastermind also. Mastermind in this sense, I couldn't find better language. I have a very good Chinese translation for it. 战略执行者, but this is, when translated to English, it's so difficult to get a single word, to have to comprise the full meaning of 战略执行者. So never mind, we use the mastermind. Mastermind here involves the top-ranking people who plan, who decide where we head to, who in control of the resources and make decision and direct the direction. Of course, this you don't let everyone, the grassroots, to say, oh, what we want. No, you have to plan, you have to understand, because they don't see, they don't get an overview. The grassroots only know what they want in terms of benefit only. But they don't have the overview. This is a problem. People who don't have the overview, like for example, you could only hear, but you couldn't see. How well can you perform? It always takes a mastermind, a people who stand on top of the mountain, can see vast enough, wide enough, far enough, then in order to decide which is the best path to walk. So this mastermind. Of course, we in a democratic country, we care about the grassroots. But you don't, every now and then, you don't get a president of America, and every now and then, cannot make decision and ask for opinion poll, and ask people to tell you where your defense policy should be, how your defense policy should be, how your trade policy should be. You cannot. You need expert to do it. And this is a mastermind who plan, who others are the execute. These are the executors who just follow instruction and are very skillful in applying tactics. But we need a mastermind to have an overview, to see far enough, to contemplate, to really study deeply into the matters, into the organization. Everything. Later we talk more about it. So in this case, we have two model of to depict the relationship between three types of beneficiaries. The first is the ground of that pyramid, the lower part, but the widest, the most numbers. First beneficiary. Because this is the good. If you don't get a grassroots, you have the mastermind, but you cannot function. The whole society cannot function. You don't have the executors who work for you, cannot. But you have a third beneficiary, which is on top of it, top but the smallest portion, but top in the sense, it is in the highest position and can see overall. And the benefit of the third beneficiary is actually built upon the success, the fulfillment of the benefit of the first and second beneficiaries. And if you put it into the will, It is like, you know, okay, putting into the wheel, there, this is the assistor, the center. This is the center one, is most important for the whole, the running whole organization. So this is the beneficiary. Then the second one, these are the spokes. So this is second beneficiary, and this is the outer layer. Okay? And all the support of the people. And then round and round, they go round and round in such a relationship. Okay? So bear in mind of this, that as a mastermind, it is you have to really understand the thing and make use of the resources well, and you have to benefit the first beneficiary, second beneficiary, third beneficiary. Okay, put it in a company, let's say in a commercial company, how it works. The first beneficiary usually must be the customer. If you don't produce anything good for the customer, no matter how well you enrich yourself, your company cannot sustain. The business cannot sustain. So then the second must be your workers. Then the third is the boss, you know, or the top ranking, CEO, the executors, the board of directors, something like that. So in this American Dharma Society, the first beneficiary must be maybe the target people, people who come in to support the society, they give their donations, and then they come to meditate, join the activities. So these are the people. And the second, our Dharma servers, our volunteers, you know, people who run the things, they need something. Yeah, but the last one also very important. That the teacher, the planner, they are very important. So if you have this clear, then when you set your goal, it's easier. It's clearer. Okay, look at it. Next. So in our context is, first beneficiary is devotees. Okay, devotees. What are the specific things that we need to pay attention to devotees? Their limitations, their karma, their deserving powers. Sometimes it's that just like the father, the loving father and mother, they love their children so much, they want to give all the good things to their children. But sometimes if they don't care about, they are not aware, they don't pay attention to this limitation of their children, their karma, their deserving power, what will happen? For the loving parents who give everything good to their children, what will happen? Spoil. Right or not? The children misuse the good things, right? Because they don't have the deserving power. So the wise parents are like the parents of Jews. Do you know the Jews' parents? They make their students, they make their children work for them, right? They work. You want something, you want to do something good, you want more money, you have to work. Your parents don't always wash for you. You have to work. This is what I learned about the Jews' parents. Because they fully understand. The children must, even from starting from childhood, they must start to learn that there's no such thing as something for nothing. You have to work hard to deserve a good thing. Unlike the Chinese parents, Chinese parents always like to, if they are rich, they always like to spoil their children. The best is the children don't work. You know? Then the parents will say, I work so hard so that you don't need to work. But you spoil the children. So this actually has its principle in the law of cause and effect. If the person don't work hard, don't have sufficient causes, then such a person don't have merit and don't have deserving power. This is important. And limitation also. Later we'll talk about how to understand deserving power. How to know someone deserves. How much someone deserves. How to know. This is a further questions. Remember to ask this question again. I want to let you all contemplate a bit on it. How to know? Okay? Remember to ask this question. Otherwise, I may forget to tell you before the end of the Dharma Leadership course. remember to ask this question. How to know, how to measure the deserving power of some people? Okay? Okay. First beneficiaries. Then let's go to second beneficiaries. Dhamma servers. Again, you have to know the Dhamma servers' limitations. It is always important to know people's limitation. If you don't know the people's limitation, you don't know how to decide about portions. Proportionate treatment. Proportionate authorization. Proportionate delegation. So this limitation is very important. When we regard ourselves also, we have to regard our limitation. 极限, our limitation. What are my limitations? If you don't understand your limitation, you may undertake something which you cannot bear. And then you have to suffer. That's very important, limitation. So it has something to do with abilities and this and that, and deserving powers. So Dhamma service is important. Then the third beneficiary, teachers and leaders. Teachers and leaders. And in America Dhamma Society particularly, this is a big thing. Right or not? Now in the world, is really a running shortage of teachers and leaders. So, this kind of understanding about the teachers, understanding about leaders become very important. Very, very important. What is the limitation of the teachers? We also have limitations. Teachers also have limitations. For example, if it's an old teacher, may have a health limitation. A busy teacher may have a time limitation. And just now I even heard about, you all say some other people, if they are not well trained, they have not put practice, whatever they teach, they have not really live up to it yet. They have not cultivated enough. So that becomes their limitation. So if they start to say they want to teach, they want to help, but when they undertake too much name, fame, respect, support, wealth, when all these things come, if the limitation is the moral limitation, it is something very serious, something very big. If it is the Dhamma limitation, then you cannot push further. You know, some people may be unshaken when there's 1 million. But some people, I know, 1 million not shaken, 1 billion gets shaken. That is also a limitation, moral limitation. You see? So this you have to understand. So the deserving power of teachers and leaders, how to know? This is also important. Then Dhamma powers and time and etc. So this is always something to consider. Seriously consider. Okay. When we try to set our vision, our goal, these are the things that we have to bear in mind before we proceed to set our goal. We need to know our staff. We need to know our people. We need to know our human resources especially. Okay? Now, again, three beneficiaries. Look at it. Bear in mind, remember this picture very well. This will help you a long way. Now, second goal setting. Second goal setting. Identifying true benefits. This is also very important. Many people just go by instinctive pull. Oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. 直觉, 很多人是直觉, instinctive. They just want to do this because they feel good about it. But not because they... Yeah, instinct is useful for leaders. If your mind is very pure, very clear, your instinct also helps. But not only instinct. Sometimes instinct can be misleading. Sometimes instinct can lead to the bad direction, bad destination. So we must check our instinct with our rational, our consideration of causes, our consideration of conditions. So now, goal setting. We need to identify true benefits. What is the true benefits for me and for the three types of beneficiaries? Okay, look at this picture. First beneficiaries, second beneficiaries and third beneficiaries. And in the center, there's the overlapping part, shared true benefits. There are something in common. If there's nothing in common, it's very difficult to run anything. If the three types of beneficiary don't share something in common, usually it's not easy to run an organization, especially an NGO. There's something that we share. Find it. Something that 共同的, 真会, share. Okay? Look at it. Then, do you have respective benefits? 个别的, 真会. First beneficiary, the devotees, what are certain things that they want, which is unique to them and maybe not common, not shared by others? We need to find out. You know, sometimes they want something else. For example, it could be that the teacher wants to give Dhamma for liberation. Sometimes the first beneficiary, they want wealth, or they want a quick recovery from their sickness. Sometimes like that. So they need a little blessings. That's why last night at one time, Achancha, it seems, he took the water and spray for them. So there's a Western students thinking, why? What my teacher is doing? How? What is so beneficial? Take the water, spray on people. Then Achancha gave the answer. Oh, because it's too hot for them. So they need some shower. You know, that's real. So actually it means something like, you know, they just need something. Maybe we are talking about substantial thing for liberation. But people from the lower level, they don't have that kind of high evolution and development yet. They have not understood the deep essence of the Dhamma yet. They want something very crude, you know, or very basic. They feel pain here. They worry about their house feng shui and things like that, you know. So, yes, it happened. So, but what are the things that we can fulfill? Of course, we cannot fulfill everything. Certain things maybe, but not everything. So, we have to understand, identify, and which are the areas we can work. For example, for children, you see, for experienced meditators, we don't know, no singing. April 7th is the best. But for the children, if you don't allow them to sing some Buddhist hymns, you say, no, you should eat a precepts. You put them off. They cannot buy it. They don't like it. You know? Too serious. So this is also, then we have considered the idea. Can we allow him singing in the Buddhist circle? Or should we set up an area? This is an activity center which we allow. You can take your dinner. You can enjoy yourself. Things like that. But at the same time, within certain limits. Things like that. So if you understand their respective benefits that they want, then you will know how to help. What are the areas we want to fulfill or not? Yeah, you can decide. Then the second beneficiary, remember this is Dhamma service. So what are their respective benefits? For example, in Tusita, in our organization, what are the benefits they want? You know. Our Dhamma service, what do they want? They want more meditation. So if we don't care about this, they get really upset. They get really disappointed. When we promise them they can have 3 months paid holidays but for meditation, but not for other things. For meditation, for training, for upliftment. Then if we have too much work and we take away it, we are not able to provide them with that 3 months because of overworked. They get really upset. It's not about money. It's about their opportunity to practice Dhamma. So I told them it's very serious. If these are our second beneficiaries, they care so much about the practice, they give up a higher pay to come to serve in the Dhamma, to receive lower pay, you must know what they want. If you don't know what they want, you really hurt them. You put them off and they are going to run away. We have to keep our promise. When we promise them, they are supposed to get the holidays. It is better to have less activities. Because if you only care about the first beneficiaries, the devotees, you want to give the best to the devotees, and you deprive the second beneficiaries of their wish for more meditation, they put them off. Then they run away. By the time they run away, your Dhamma workers, there's a very fast turnover of people. then very soon nobody have faith in you. People don't come in to serve. Capable people don't come in. So immediately you exhaust your manpower, then in future you won't get manpower. Did the Buddha teach about this? The Buddha talked about this principle. Remember? Where? In the suttas, the Buddha said, do not milk dry. Do not milk dry. People contribute, people work so hard for the Sangha. Let the Sangha not milk dry. You know what's the meaning of milk dry? 挤奶挤到干. So if the milk dry the cow finish. After some time, the cow get hurt. The cow become a sick cow. That's a big problem. I've no direct experience with what the effect of making dry, but I can guess. Huh? I can guess. So this is why we need to care about the second beneficiaries. People who volunteers, who serve, who work hard, but they have their dream also. This is very important to bear in mind. Then the last one. Third beneficiaries, the teachers, the leaders, are they important? Yes. Yes. Especially if this group of people, they have still have an aspiration. If they are arhan, okay, fine. If they are not arhan or anagami, it is very likely they have their aspiration. They have their dreams. They have their urgency. So if we milk dry and let the teacher overwork, yes, teacher, we want you everywhere. But if the teacher don't get the time to meditate, it can be risky. It can be a problem. And what more to say, if that teacher is not perfectly or strongly rooted in the Dhamma yet. Some teachers, for example, they may be qualified to teach Samatha, but they may not be, you know, their journey may be still reversible. So in such a teacher, we have to push, let them achieve their goal. In Tusita, now we have more than 10 people among our group, among our students, who actually can give instruction, can teach Samatha and Vipassana. But we only send out a few only. Why? Because we know if they need further practice and we don't give them the chance and push them into service, what will happen? One day, if a person gets the deserving power is not enough, and maybe for some reason disrobe, the destructive effect can be more. It can destroy the faith of people even more. So this is why it is important. So we have to know our people. We have to know ourselves. How much they can do. How much they can deserve. How much responsibility they can bear. How much temptation they can resist. Things are like that. Okay? Now look at this. So we need to discuss the shared benefits of three types. Shared benefits of three types of beneficiaries. Respective benefits of the three types of beneficiaries. So if you have this, you have to identify, then it will help a long way. Okay, now we go to next. Okay, now we talk about shared benefits. True benefits that the first beneficiary, second beneficiary, and third beneficiary, they share something in common. As a leader, it's always important to establish the common things with other people. It's always important to know the common thing, the common goal, the common dreams. It's always important. If you only look for the difference, we need to know the differences, we need to know the common things. Based on that common thing, we can work. Okay, now what is the first one? You know the arrow of going down? What are the things that we want to go down? We want it to go down. Which is universal? Suffering. Yes, pain. This is common for all beings. For all beings. All beings don't want suffering. Always bear in mind. It is always important for all the leaders to bear in mind very fundamental things. Very, very fundamental. We don't want suffering. These are the common for all. What are things that we want? To increase? Yes, exactly. Now you got it. happiness. Sometimes we go too much into the branches, to the leaves, we forget the trunk. That's why we always need to emphasize this. Okay? Spiritual fulfillment. In the spiritual community, it is always a spiritual fulfillment. No doubt some people, they have some worldly aspiration, even in the spiritual community, but the fundamental is still the spiritual fulfillment. These are the things that we want. So as long as we have these shared things, these are the things that bind us together, link us together, make us stay with each other, support each other, because we share these things. Sense of security. I think this is everywhere. In the family, in everything. People always want to feel secure. So, what are the things that produce sense of security? Trust, you know? Faith, trust. That especially that you are not dumb at a bad time, you know? Things are like that. If you are only a friend at a good time, and then a stranger at a hard time, then people don't feel secure. So the kind of friendship, especially when we make mistakes, how our companions, our peers regard us, sometimes it's very important, you know. I always take it like that. People who always stay with me in my hardest time, in my most difficult time, I always feel safe. Okay, this is a person, you know. So I always make sure if I want to do something great, I have at least a few core people who will not desert me at my lowest time. Because when we do something great, we always, challenge always come. You don't always have the best of your karma. Sometimes low tide comes to our, come to us. Sometimes you just get, you know, you may be slandered, you may be pulled down, you may be betrayed. But at that time, if you have a few people who stand by you, then it is easier to get over. So I care about this actually. When I lead, I care about this. I always make sure I have a few people who I can count on around me, by my side, when I want to do something. If I completely find, they are full of supporters, full of good friends, but not a single person who I can count on them when in my hardest time. Usually, I don't find it safe to proceed. No doubt, you may have a whole world supporting you, but you don't have a single one stay by your side in the hardest time. When you make mistake, when your low karma comes to strike you, then it's very dangerous. That's why we have to make ourselves such a companion for our friends. So when we cultivate this kind of karma, they will also regard us this way. Okay? No doubt we can criticize each other, we can be stern with each other, we can correct each other sternly, but still, if we have a true love for each other, we will not behave in a betrayal manner. So this is about sense of security. 安全感. Then health of mind and body. Remember, this is fundamental. Nobody suffer a bad mind and then think it's okay. Nobody, when they are overworked and their health comes down and spoiled, they think this is okay. No, everyone wants good health of mind and body. This is a common, very, very common things. Very basic, fundamental. Then, etc. You can find your own list. This is only an example. You can find your own list. In any organization, in any group, you find your own list. No problem. This is not exhaustive. Okay? Then next, first beneficiary, respective benefits. 各自的,个别的. But most people at the grassroots, the devotees, they want to solve personal problems, 解决个人问题. Sometimes very basic. Most of the time, I go out, people come to me, they contact me through WeChat or whatever, they want to solve personal problems, they come to teacher. They tell them Nibbana, they don't know. Too far. They want something basic. People came to me to ask me to help them to get back their boyfriend, get back their husband, get back their children, their child. Things like that, you know. Yes, very basic. This is human. And we should not despise and look down. We should respect that. Whether we can help or we cannot help, that's another question. But we must respect that people have this need. We must respect. Fulfilling personal needs. One is the overcome problem, one is fulfill personal needs. You know? Yes, people ask me about their work, opinion about their work, whether suitable. They ask me about their studies, whether they should study this or study that. Any enrollment into universities, also students come to us, help us. And then the family things, you know, they need the blessings for their children. Their children get sick. Yes, it happened so frequently to us. So, but certain things we can do, certain things we may not be able to do. And then when the parents get sick, at the last stage of their life, they ask us, invite us over, you know, to receive the dana of the parents, the dying mother. We go to the dying mother couldn't even get up. We go to the bedside, and then just let the person touch the plate, and we touch the plate and put food into our bowl. Things are like that. They have these needs, so we have to do sometimes certain things. But how much we can do, that depends. We have to consider this properly, etc. The second beneficiaries, okay, fulfilling personal needs, again, it's the same. Realizing personal values, is not only that, sometimes solving problem also, but mostly we say personal needs, personal values. For example, in our Dharma Earth, of Dharma Earth Club, Malaysia Dharma Earth, in Kuala Lumpur, in our monastery, our new monastery, we have graduates, they come in, or we have people who give a higher pay to come in to serve as a Dharma worker. Very intelligent, very smart people. But what we told, what we gave them at the beginning, we tell them, this is part of our training. You don't discriminate between your work. You should humble down and do accept any work given to you. Yes, they did it. These are very excellent people. You know, you ask them, clear up the ways, drive, the four-wheel drive up and down, being a driver for people. Yes, they are graduate, they are willing. They don't mind. But after 1 year, if we still make them as a just the worker, ordinary worker, then they don't get their values, their training in the universities, their background, the cultivation is not fully in use. This you have to realize. People don't find it makes sense. So we have to remember, we have to bear in mind. If we forget about this, they will run away. Because they say, well, why I'm doing this? I'm not bringing out the best of myself. I have much more potential inside, but I don't get the chance to use it. So we slowly train them to be Dharma speakers, Dharma translators, and then the Dharma organizers. So slowly, their personal values come up. It is not about ego. It's just about common sense. It's not about ego. If it is an ego, if they are not even willing to sweep the floor for once, that's an ego. We should not. Even the highest prime people, sometimes, occasionally, to do something, some of this work, we should not have this pride. I have such qualification. I'm not supposed to sweep the floor. This is no good. In the Dharma world, we don't think like that. But at the same time, we need to understand. People always have a natural desire to grow from where they are. They are here, they want to go higher. So if we keep them down, yes, keep them down is good for overcoming the pride. But if you do it all the time, then it doesn't make sense. It is not true, not suitable. So this is important. And the growth of personal abilities. They need to strengthen. They need to have they develop new things. They develop new abilities. The better EQ, better ability to help people, then this is important. Look at it. They can give up more money for less money or for no money. For what? Of course, there must be something nobler, purer, something more worthwhile for to compensate, you know, what they let go. Isn't it so? Similarly, we, with all our qualifications, we give up all our potential for good life, we give up to come to the spiritual world. If it's only for ordinary ceremonial priests, recite here, ring the bell here, do this, do that. We don't want to do, anybody can do that kind of work. But if we find, oh, I can realize four noble truths, I can practice to realize higher sila, samadhi, panya, this is great. Then even you let go of the opportunity of higher studies, you let go of a lot of wealth, name, fame, but you find worthwhile, 值得, you find it's worthwhile. It's worthwhile to sacrifice. We don't sacrifice for nothing. We sacrifice for nobler realization. Something nobler. Something good. 更崇高的, things. That's important. Etc. Then the third beneficiaries. First is of course obvious. When we help, we always have a satisfaction of benefiting others. Of course, some people say, no, it is a he, so selfless. Why look for satisfaction? You say, arahants don't look for satisfaction. Let me tell you, even though arahants, they don't have the ego, they don't have to say, I want or I don't want, but you don't expect the arahant to spend his time in vain for useless things, right? He will not. Even in the text, the Buddha say, you know, if the receiver, the devotees are not pious, they are not faithful, they are not welcoming to receive the Dhamma, the arahants don't go to such places. Or they just get their food, they go away. They just waste their time. So this kind of satisfaction is not always about ego. It's about whether it is worth the time and effort or not. Even arahants don't waste their time. They waste their effort. They want to make their... They have their common sense to spend their time meaningfully for a useful thing. So it's not for ego. Manjukan. This satisfaction. Okay? So I use the word satisfaction for easy understanding only. It's just something very practical. Enhancement of life. If you are not the arahants, you always aspire. In fact, it's a good teacher or anybody who is true to the Dhamma. They always want to enhance their life, uplift their life for higher. Until they come to a stage of asika. Asika is no learning, no more need to learn anything. Sika is that the people that need to learn before arahantship. Once you become arahant, become asika. No need to learn anymore. In terms of liberation, it's complete. Okay. But below that, the Buddha never asks us to stop. The Buddha said, anybody below arahantship, you should always strive on. So a true disciple, the sons and daughters of the Buddha, they will follow the Buddha's advice and they should not stop at any stage of their achievement until the final liberation. Arahant, Pachika Buddha, or Buddhahood. One of the destination. Final destination. Not Sotapan, not Sakadagami, not Anagami. But of course, it is not wrong to say, I hope to achieve at least Sotapatimagga in this life. It is okay. But to say that it is enough to stop there is wrong. Nobody wants to stop anywhere. So please, we have to understand this. The idea, some people say, many students come to us, Pandey, you have practiced so much, you can teach so well. Why you want to practice some more? Why you want to meditate some more? Why not you just spend your time teaching us? This is not understanding us. We are also human. We have our work to do. If you don't understand us and you try to use it, exploit us, exhaust us, then we will run away. We don't feel understood. We don't feel care about. You know, we think people just want to use us to the best of their, to everything, you know, but not thinking about our side. And then we feel, we don't feel good. So this is also important. Etc. So this is so if you have this, then we go into the standardization of goals. If you have a small specific goals, then it's easier to achieve. If you're too vague, I think most people have very vague goals, which is no good. Okay? Try to be more specific. First, you have to identify what are the benefits, true benefits you want. What are the true benefits you want? And you need to understand, while you consider this, you must consider another side of the story, the factors of reducing the benefits. If you want the benefits, you must guard against the factors that reduce benefits. What are the factors reducing benefits? Sometimes the internal struggle, competition, internal friction. These are the things that can reduce the benefits a lot. Okay, this is the thing. Then the second, cost for one above. Cost for number one. Cost for benefits. You need to know. The 成本, cost, 成本. 成本 for what? For the benefits. What? You don't only think about benefits, you must think about the cost for the benefits. What is the price you have to pay? You need to know. No doubt, even the Buddha didn't mind walking 30 yojanas, walk a long way, just to help a person to get enlightened, to be sotapan. But, you know, given a choice, he will consider his option. You look at the Buddha. The first period of his life, he spent a lot of time helping and teaching the cream, people with the highest potential. People potential for arahanship, potential for anagami. Only after that he has done all these things, then the additional time he spent on people who have potential for sotapan. Is it discrimination? No. This is taking things as they really are. This is the economic of Dharma propagation. Why? If you can enlighten more arahants, then the arahants can help other people more effectively. Right or not? So, consideration about benefits, you must also consider about cost. Some people will spend even more cost than the benefits. You know? Then it's a waste. 1 year, many years ago in Malaysia, those days they charge the license for TV. 24 ringgits, Malaysian dollars, 24 ringgits for 1 year TV license. So if you want to use TV, you want to watch a TV, you need to pay the license because the program is given free to you. So you have to pay. But later, it was scrapped. That tax is a kind of tax or a kind of charge. Why? Because the government realized that the cost to take back, you know, you have to have the manpower. There are people hiding there, you know, not having license. You know, storer keep their TV at home, you know, hiding in the room. To enforce that is so difficult. You get more money spent to collect the tax. You know, how much they collect? A few hundred thousand ringgits those days. But how much they spend to enforce that is much higher. Something like, you know, Per every license, it's almost like you have to spend 30 ringgit to recover 24 ringgit. Is it worth it? It's not worth it. So it is better to scrap it and you save more money. So something like that. This is a very important consideration. Then the relevant natural laws. You know, natural law is something very vague. Cause and effect. You know, and many things. But in this aspect, what are the relevant laws involved? Okay. Later we can go. Today we just go through quickly. Later when we come into this discussion again, more and more such things will be discussed again and again. Then priority between various types of benefits. There are various types of benefits. The priority, which comes first, and how much, the proportion. These are important things. Then the third one, short run and long run. You must always bear in mind, what is a short run and what is a long run? Can be very different. Short run is okay. Sometimes you squeeze a bit. Squeeze this and squeeze that. Sometimes the teacher doesn't mind. Squeeze a bit. Less sleep. Hard working. to produce a result. But in the long run, then the consideration will be different. 短期 跟长期。Then number four, resources. It is good to have all your dreams, but if you don't have the resources, how? Like now, just now, our American Dharma Society, we have a discussion of our committee. Okay, no doubt we may would like to have many big things happening here, but what about our resources? You know, our executors, our planners. They have their dream, they have their aim in life. Then how much manpower we have? If you don't consider our manpower and we keep aspiring to do a lot of big things, then we let them overwork. We exhaust our people, we make dry people, then finish. So, but resources, there are two things. Existing resources, 资源, and potential, 潜在的. Potential resources and existing resources. 现有资源跟潜在资源. Now maybe we don't have the manpower to do work, but maybe with a little effort, we may bring in resources, bring in manpower, capable people. It is possible. If this can be done, so what we see as a limitation may not be a long-time limitation, may only be a short-time limitation. So this is also we need to bear in mind. While we are thinking now we are six committee, okay, now our existing resources is very poor and many want to retire. So if many want to retire, then our resources, no, we cannot do. Then we give up hope, we have no hope. Not really that bad. We have potential people. You know? Maybe we do a little bit and slowly potential people come in, our resources will increase, then our whole consideration, our standardization of goal will be different. Okay? Then the fifth, when we set our goals. Okay, sorry, huh? But if we know we have resources problem and we know there are potential resources that we can uncover. Then what can we do? We may set some goals to regenerate potential resources. Instead of set some goals just generally, we may set some goal to try to regenerate, to multiply, to bring up the potential resources. Then the fifth, the goals. The goals, it is good that we set the goals which has a power to motivate. Power to motivate. When we have something, you know, the goal is put in such a way that you have a power that is motivate you, then it's different. Later we will go into this more and more. We will even go into the football team. How in the football team, the goals become a power to motivate. We will go into it. So, and then for us, a spiritual world, how you set your goal in such a way that goal can motivate and spur you on. Okay.